Been an interesting morning, huh?
Lots of definitely been that.
Digest.
Definitely been that with the first part of this five-part SportsIllustrated.com investigative story on Oklahoma State's football program. And here's a guy who knows all about investigative pieces and journalism in general. He's Jason Whitlock. And Jason, of course, a star in Kansas City for many years and with AOL and Fox Sports and now with ESPN. Jason joins us on the Lucky Star Line on this Tuesday morning. What's up, Jason?
How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. You've been we've been through these kinds of articles and investigations before with a lot of prominent programs. So, what's your take on this series that SportsIllustrated.com is doing on Oklahoma State?
Well, I have the obvious take that I'm tired of these stories. We've been reading these stories for 30 years, and I'm tired of people pointing out how corrupt the participants are in a system that has been proven to be corrupt. The NCAA amateur system is corrupt, and so we should not be surprised that there is corruption among the participants. And, you know, I would like to see more of the focus on the NCAA and the system and fixing that, and then I'll get upset about the corruption. So I think the story is cliche and bogus and suspect and just the wrong angle. But then in addition to that, having worked with Thayer Evans at Fox Sports, having followed his work for some time, I am completely and utterly flabbergasted that a legitimate news outlet would allow Thayer Evans to be involved in some type of investigative piece on college football that tears down a program, and particularly one that tears down Oklahoma State, when it is no secret what a huge, enormous, gigantic Oklahoma Thayer Evans is. This is just incredible. And, knowing the lack of competence that's there with Thayer Evans, knowing the level of simple-mindedness that is there with Thayer Evans, to base any part of the story on his reporting is mind-boggling.
I've talked to a couple of people that Thayer interviewed for this story, and I think the line of questioning was very leading and presumptive and heavy-handed. Things like, I know certain people, they've told me certain things, you might as well go ahead and tell me too. And I think it's kind of preyed on a few of these people. One other thing, Jason, that I thought was kind of strange in this is that, man, I think guys are getting paid 100, 200 bucks here and there all the time by boosters. It happens at every college campus in the country. But, man, I'm really suspicious of the fact that somebody would walk through the locker room after the game or certainly on a team plane and hand out money. I've been on a bunch of team planes. I've never seen somebody walking up and down the aisles handing things to players. That doesn't make sense to me.
There are certainly more discreet ways to do it. And again, listen, I don't know what's going on at Oklahoma State. 10% of this story may be true. None of it may be true. Or 90% of the story may be true. I don't know. And I want to be completely transparent. I'm so bored and irritated by these stories that I only skimmed this one. And when I learned that Thayer Evans was involved, I can say, oh, there's just no way I'll read this because there's just no reason to trust this reporter on anything of any substance. If you go back and look at his track record of reporting and the consistent controversies that surround his reporting, and he made a name for himself at the New York Times by writing these annual stories about some top high school football recruit that he would buddy up to, follow around with a tape recorder, and then report what some immature 17-year-old kid said about the recruiting process. And these kids tended to come from single-parent families with the mother working and busy, and so there wasn't the normal oversight, and anybody with a brain could see the exploitation that was taking place. a journalist or reporter following around a 17-year-old kid, having access to what an immature 17-year-old would say, and then print what he says and have people react. You know, so it doesn't surprise me that there are sources in this story saying the reporting was heavy-handed and leading. Listen, I don't want to make the whole thing about Thayer Evans, but there's just no way to avoid it. I've worked with him. He's simple-minded. He's a hack that can't write. This isn't personal. I promise. I have no reason to dislike Thayer Evans personally, and I don't. But I've read enough of his work to know this guy isn't qualified for this job. And by now, Sports Illustrated, anybody else, should be well aware of this. Type his name into Google, read his previous work, read how his previous work has been debunked, and there's just no surprise that this story will be shrouded in controversy.
Jason Whitlock with us from ESPN, noted writer from Kansas City and has been on AOL and Fox Sports and radio stations in Kansas City, talking about the Oklahoma State investigative piece that SI.com is putting out. Well, George Dorman is another writer. What are your thoughts on him? Because when I originally heard about this story, I heard his name way more than Thayer Evans, and people were saying, oh, he's really credible and all this, and they've been doing a year-long investigation. In terms of the content of the story, I'm totally with you on that, where I'm going, I really kind of read it with a shoulder shrug today, other than names I knew because I've covered this program for a while. But other than that, there was nothing that was overly alarming about what I read. But what about George Dorman? Is he credible? Is he a guy you know of? And do you think he lends credibility to the stories?
I know of George's work. I think he was involved with the Ohio State story. I would tend to think George is probably a talented writer. And that would be one of the reasons he would be on this story. I would imagine he has some investigative ability. I can't disparage him because I've never worked with him. I've never seen any of, raw copy or anything like that. But look, there are a brand of sports writers who love doing these investigative pieces. They're not hard to do these days in terms of, oh, so-and-so got this money under the table. I mean, we're in this era where unnamed sources can say anything, and you can do these he said, she said stories. And so you got to understand, I don't respect the entire brand of investigative journalism that's being done here in terms of it's not our job to go out and do NCAA policing. Amateurism is a joke. It's a fraudulent system that Walter Byers, the architect of the modern NCAA, a white conservative from Kansas, in his memoir, analogized the NCAA system of amateurism to slavery. Walter Byers did that. There's no reason for journalists to run around and protect this system or enforce its rules. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me why we're doing this. If Walter Byers knows the system is bogus and corrupt and misplaced, why are we protecting it and running around? Oh my God, people are breaking these NCAA rules. Coaches, athletic directors, making millions of dollars. There are billionaire fans like T-Boone Pickens who are all into it. Why are we surprised that these people might share a little of the money with the players? I question the people that don't want to share some of the money with the players. I have no respect for the boosters who don't give the players some form of cash. And I certainly don't have any respect for the journalists who are making careers out of reporting on this and pretending like they're doing society some good and they're stopping some form of cancer or plague on American society. Oh my God, Johnny, who's out there risking his health, concussions, and everything else, got $200 or $300 after the game. We must stop this. And oh, there's some cute girl on campus who's a hostess who may have slept with one of these players. This has been going on for years. It goes on in the frat houses. The academic corruption that they're going to talk about goes on in the frat houses and all across campus. We're signaling out these athletes. It's a good story. It'll get you a promotion. It'll get you on SportsCenter. It'll get you talked about on this radio show and all over Twitter. But it's bogus. It's a trick for clicks.
What would you think, Jason? It's difficult. Should the players have rights to sell their likeness or promote? For example, I don't think I'd have an issue with signing autographs and getting paid for that, but it seems very difficult to spread that out to everyone. Does the third team tackle deserve as much as the guy that stars at a university? So how would you suggest and go about compensating the players?
Well,
it's the best way to do it.
It's a complicated answer with many, many different options. I've written many columns suggesting options on ways to pay players fairly. The entire NCAA system needs to be overhauled. They need to acknowledge that football and men's and women's basketball are totally money sports and driven by money, and they need to figure out a way to rope in the NFL and the NBA to help compensate these players for training them up and for producing all this revenue. How to do it, I'm not for, hey, let's do autographs or let's do this. There is, listen, this is a smart country filled with a lot of smart people. There is a way to figure out how to fairly compensate these athletes. And just fairly compensating them won't end corruption. But if they are fairly compensated, I will then get upset about the corruption. Because, like, oh, you're being treated fairly and you still want more? Now I can have a problem with you. But when coaches are making $4 and $5 million a year and we act like, you know, we can't give these kids $3,000 or $4,000 a semester, give me a break. It's a joke.
Jason Whitlock with us from ESPN for a few more minutes talking about the articles coming out from SportsIllustrated.com on Oklahoma State's football program. What about the state of the NCAA now, Jason? Mark Emmert is under a lot of fire, a lot of people calling for his ouster. I kind of thought when he first got selected to be president that he might work out because he'd been on the athletic and academic side of things on the college level. But he's the Miami investigation was really botched and things like that. And then what, in your opinion, is the state of the NCAA going forward? Are they going to continue being the governing body of sports for many, many years to come, or is there a possibility of their demise one of these days?
I think if there's enough pressure from the media and perhaps politicians, you're going to see a gigantic overhaul with the NCAA. You're going to see the football schools perhaps break off and do their own thing, because I think they can't say it. The coaches, the athletic directors, they know, look, we're making too much money with these video games are pouring money in, these television networks are pouring in. We have to figure out a way to fairly compensate the athletes and tie the compensation to incentivizing these guys to actually, while they're there playing football, pursue education and things like that. But I think, you know, within the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see the football schools, the major football schools, go off and do their own thing, because this NCAA, it's a hot mess right now. And, you know, to be honest, I blame the media. We haven't done our job of being leaders. And, you know, there have been a Taylor Branch for the Atlantic a year or two ago wrote a great piece that framed up the argument quite well. But there hasn't, there was a unified call for a football playoff system amongst the media. And there was pressure for years, get a playoff system. You know, I want to see that kind of uniform call for reform from the NCAA and the compensation of football and basketball players. It's the right thing to do. But we don't have that because there's this low-hanging fruit of running around and let's go get some former player who got kicked off the team to tell us that he got a $200 or $300 handshake, and let's run that out there as a story because everybody in the media will follow it. It's a joke. And so, look, if the media gets its act together and we frame up this conversation properly and we put enough pressure on, we're going to see an overhaul. I don't want to demonize Mark Emmert. You know, he's some mid-level politician that, you know, is the NCAA president. He's, you know, he can't be the leader of real reform because that's probably not within his personality, probably too high risk for him. It's going to have to come from someone more daring than Mark Emmert. And look, I don't want to beat the guy up. He stepped into a moving boat, a moving train. They're making so much money exploiting these athletes that you know, it would take some real, real courage for him to be the leader of the kind of change that needs to take place. And again, that's why it needs to come from the media and pressure from the media and perhaps politicians to force them to embrace the change that we all know is necessary.
Jason, do you think with 9 months investigation and talking to former players, is this something that is just exclusive to Oklahoma State, or do you think this would happen at any university with that kind of scrutiny?
Look, and I love the way, you know, they learned this from Yahoo. If you throw out some numbers, hey, we investigated for 10 months, 12 months, then, you know, that allegedly leads to credibility. But, yes, if you looked at any program from Division III to all the way to the Notre Dame or wherever, if you could find people breaking NCAA rules. The NCAA rule book is humongous. Listen, when they're talking about these boosters that are giving $200 and $300 handshakes, we're calling them boosters. It may just be fans, and I'm talking about, you know, and I might talk about inside the locker room because the average fan can't get in the locker room, and I kind of just don't suspect people are walking around in the locker room handing out these handshakes. But if you're some huge Oklahoma State fan who makes $150,000 a year, you might see a guy out at a restaurant, give him $200 for great tackle or, you know, sacks at an interception or whatever, and, you know, we're calling him a booster, but he may just be a fan. I mean, the story to me, from everything that I've heard and the parts that I skip, it just seems so suspect. And if that's the standard, if he said, she said, if you can say, this booster walked up to me and gave me $500 in the locker room, and you don't have to name that booster, yeah, this story could be done at Ball State. It could be done at Rutgers. It can be done at UCLA. It can be done anywhere.
Okay, let me close with this, Jason. So should Mike Gundy, Les Miles, Joe DeForest, who's at West Virginia, Larry Porter, who's at Texas, Bobby Reed, who was the subject of Mike Gundy's infamous rant a few years ago, who's now on staff at Oklahoma State, should these guys be sweating bullets today, or are they going to get off scot-free, basically?
I hope they get off scot-free, because I don't think they've done anything wrong. They're probably sweating bullets because America is so stupid and the sports media is so stupid that we'll call for something to happen or we'll let something happen, or the NCAA is so stupid. You know, yes, they should be sweating because we're in that kind of a stupid society and no one wants to correct this corrupt system. But for me, I wish them nothing, but I hope Oklahoma State wins every game and wins the national championship. Have they lost this year? I hope they win the national. I hope they go Cam Newton. Remember when Cam Newton and his father were the worst thing on the planet? And oh my God! I mean, Fair Evans, the leader of that. You would have thought Cam Newton was O.J. Simpson or Walter White, or, you know, Cam Newton and his dad. Who knows? Maybe they did want a couple hundred thousand. More power to them. It's America.
Very good. Jason Whitlock from ESPN weighing in on his thoughts on one of the contributors to these articles, Thayer Evans, and just the situation in general with the society and what we are involved with in sports right now. Appreciate the conversation, Jason.
Let me end by saying this, and I honestly mean this without malice. It wouldn't shock me if Thayer Evans couldn't spell cat, and I say that in all seriousness. Thank you for the time.
All right, Jason Whitlock, big fan of Thayer Evans.